This is HPR episode 2221 entitled HPR Community News for January 2017 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 85 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in January 2017.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another edition of Hacker Public Radio Community News, this time for January 2017. Hi Dave.
Hi Ken.
Sorry, this is where I traditionally say, joining me tonight is Dave, but my head is all over the shop, so how about we...
This is fine. There's another bloke here and it's me.
Yes. For those new to HPR, HPR is a crowdsourcing podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. And to give everybody who is not on the mailing list, and you should be, a background into what's going on the mailing list and in the HPR community in general, we put on this show once a month. And it's been moved around a bit this time because of one thing and another, which we'll no doubt get to. Actually, it's FOSDEM. Is coming up this Saturday, and we go down to that. And well, I'm going down to that, and as a result, we'll be just too busy to record a show on that Saturday. So we moved it to Wednesday, and then you had some issues then as well.
Yes. It looked like sand completely failed on my usual workstation. So I'm running off a laptop today. Took me all day to get it ready.
Yeah, so I'll have that, and thankfully, I'm not sounding like a chipmunk. This month, I don't think.
No, you sound good, as far as I'm concerned, anyway.
For some reason, it got stuck at 44.1 kilohertz, and when I went to 44.8, that fixed it. But then, when I plugged it in now again this evening and went to 48 kilohertz or whatever, I was sounding like Barry Manilow for a while. So
you were.
So I had to undo this.
Is this your Zoom that you're using?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, need
that's
to remember
what I'm
to bring
doing
that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm doing as well, and so I could sound like a chipmunk too. Wow.
Yeah. Well, normally it didn't do anything, but it might be just something decided to get smart and intelligent. Oh, I need to remember to bring my all my recording stuff as well. I haven't packed because it's. I need to go to get my stuff together and then go to work. And then from work, I'm taking the train to Belgium down to Brussels. From there, I'm going into where they're setting up the stands and drop off some of the posters. And then hopefully I might be able to get some interviews because there's something like 74 different tables this time.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that there will be more because the media lounge and the open hardware section has always people who kind of, you know, start demoing stuff on the day.
Well, good luck.
Anyway, enough about I'm also processing all the HPR shows, the New Year shows in the background. So I will be hoping to stop this from time to time to enter in passwords and the like. Anyway, do you want to go ahead and welcome our new hosts? We have a few this month.
Yes, we have two new hosts. And the first one is Reg A, who was on, he's on the New Year show quite a lot, I think.
Yeah, proving that me pressuring people into doing shows actually works.
Absolutely, yeah, well done. And well done, Reg, for
well
stepping
done,
up.
Reg.
And we also have Hannah of Terror of Soul, which is the most wonderful handle
absolutely
ever.
Absolutely awesome, yes.
But the commas I just had to change the layer of this thing so that it was quoted, so that you didn't think there were three people there.
Excellent.
That's just what being a geek's all about. I'm sorry.
Indeed. Don't get me started. So, yes, HPR 2251 is just downloaded. Give me 2 seconds till I check to make sure it's playing okay. Truncate silence hopefully will do its thing.
Okay,
that one looks good. I'll just process the next one. Hold on. Okay, we're back. Dave, can you hear me?
Yes. it's as if we hadn't ever been away.
Excellent, yes. I'm on the last one now, so I was telling you earlier on that because it converts all, they're uploaded in AUG, and because it converts it to PCM, they go out to 5-hour segment shows, which blows up the amount of free space we have on the VPS. And as it only happens once a year, then it's not that big a deal. But yeah, anyway, every year I forget to clean out stuff. And then why is there no outro on the end of this? And then, okay. Anyway, so. Starting with the first show, let's go through the shows. And we had, it was HPR Community News for December 2016, and we had no comments on that. And the following day, we had Why You Should Not Say Free Software, which is kind of my tongue-in-cheek suggestion that we should treat the term free software as a bug.
Well, yes. English is a bug, I suppose, in that respect, isn't it?
Although when I was going through this, I did think it was tongue-in-cheek, but tongue-in-cheek. Irish people have trouble saying tree. Tongue-in-cheek. But actually, it makes sense. I don't know why he picked free software. It was, if he had picked free dumb software, then we wouldn't have had this problem.
Yeah, I know. It's, I guess we get used to the fact that there's so many meanings in English. English is a very, very difficult language in many respects, isn't it? Shame.
But, I mean, everybody knows that there's a difference between the word free and free. You learn that in national school, secondary school, and somebody as educated as RMS and the like definitely knew that there was two meanings of free.
Yeah, maybe he didn't appreciate that it would be played upon or misunderstood. It's like theory and theory. It's a lot of the people, the anti-science people, attack science because it's only a theory. But theory means something else in science. So, it's another one of those words.
Don't believe it for a second. I think he was trying to be funny.
You think?
Yeah. Same way as GNU software. GNU is not Unix. It's hilarious. What does it mean? GNU means GNU is not Unix.
yeah, there are lots of those at that time.
Anyway, but if he is at FOSDEM, I'll see if I can ask him. I'll definitely be asking the free software people. So yeah, this stirred up a lot of comments. So if you want to read the first one or whatever,
yeah, sure. Yep,
I'll do my replies if you want.
Yeah, okay. The first one is from, I assume, Spaceman, spelt wrong, but there you go. What about freedom is the question. How do you get the point of freedom matters across? In that sense, open source would be a bug because seeing the code is not equal to free software. It's possible to not be free, even if you have access to the code. People need to get educated and get to know what is going on with the software. I'm laughing because no matter what topic, free software, free energy, veganism, nutrition, the majority of people just want an iPhone that scratches their balls. And really, I've never come across one of those. And watch their drone synchronizing channels. But yeah, keep in mind that open source doesn't mean you're free. So what word do you want to use? I suggest free Libra or free with an explanation. The reason it's still around is probably because there ain't 1,000 ways to say freedom.
So then we had McNallu saying language has a life of its own. You present a solid, clear argument, Ken. Thanks for the show. My understanding is that they, RMS and Co., didn't fully appreciate the bug until people started using the term free, i.e. it's a runtime bug. And once it's entered common usage, it's hard, if not impossible, to alter the usage. For myself, I can live with the ambiguity by minding context and saying free and open source software when there's likely to be ambiguity.
And Brian says, liberty. When we say freedom, I believe we mean liberty. I have no problem with Libra, Libre, as a lot of people say. I'm not quite sure why, actually, as it conveys the message without much misunderstanding. I have a problem with open source, as much open source is still proprietary.
And I replied, Spaceman, yes, Freedom Matters. Had they named it Freedom Software, then there would have been no disambiguity. And I referred to the fact that he himself has used free software, that he has referred to the fact that freedom matters. So had it been called Freedom Software, there wouldn't be a problem. McNally, I don't believe it was a runtime bug, as there was loads of examples at the time of both paid and gratis software. Aside from levels of freedom, the term free was also known to be the opposite of paid at the time. Changing names has been done many times in the past. Postgres, Inkscape, WordPress, MariaDB, LibreOffice, Jenkins. It's all part and parcel of how free software works. RMS himself puts the better name of open source as the reason why open source was so popular. And Brian, I reported the bug. I'll leave it up to you to submit a patch, because I really don't want to suggest other options there. But I did go back and look at bike magazines, which are on archive.org.
And okay.
There were plenty of advertisements in there for where you could buy tapes for money of free software. And there was also places where you could buy applications that were proprietary. So both were being shipped gratis, as in zero cost, and both were being available for being paid. So at the time, it was well known. And I also went back and had a look, like WordPress. Have a look at the VisiCalc, WordStar, WordPerfect, Lotus 1-2-3. These were all applications that were around at the time. So I cannot believe that the concept of having to pay for software was not known.
Yeah. I worked on a Burroughs machine many years ago, and they did actually let you have the source code free, I believe, anyway. Universities are odd places, and sometimes you've got special deal, but we certainly had access to the full operating system code to hack around with, and we did.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, and RMS even said in some of the speeches that, yeah, it was not on, you know, they, you got the tapes and you paid for the tapes and you paid for transfer. That was a different thing. That's why, you know, people, he's never had an issue with people charging for GNU software.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. How awesome is Geeks. That's the one. Thanks.
He did explain that it's French, therefore it's just Le Geeks.
Le Geeks, oui.
And why it will take over the world?
Yes, exactly. Sorry, brain. Can you do this one? Because my brain is busy looking at the HBR conversion that's going over here. I don't want to miss. Since the upgrade, we're waiting to upgrade. The SSH keys don't work, so I need to paste in the password. So that's why.
Bit distracted. I wasn't aware of this.
I am looking forward to the day when we get moved to this new server Josh has promised us.
Yes, indeed. So, yes, there's quite a lot of comments on this one. And Geeks is a packaging system, as I understand it.
Yep.
But it sounded very cool. But, it's not too cool for me, I suspect.
Well,
anyway.
I think it's handy from the point of view of if you're doing Docker containers or stuff like that, that you want to keep control over particular libraries and versions. So it did seem quite interesting to me, but...
Yeah, I really feel I should look into it a bit more just to find out more about it. But Clack is very, very keen about it. He starts the comments with a comment to himself saying, correction, 8.0.3, and the show notes are already out of date. Apparently Chris released that version 2 weeks ago.
And then Brian says, please more, preferably basic examples of user package management. I've installed it and really liked it, but as a non-programmer, I'm a little overwhelmed with system management.
Fair enough. Jonas says, interesting. It's interesting to know that there's a virtual end thing type thing for an entire user login as well as a distro. I'll definitely have a look. It would be great to hear how your co-host is getting along with using Geeks in his current setup a year later.
And like he said, slides, this is not entirely helpful without narration. It's from a presentation I made, but maybe someone can glean some information about it. And he's got the thingy. X episode idea. Narrate this. We'll do it in February. On your show.
Well, he probably will. He's away on Chinese New Year at the moment. He's out in Hong Kong, as far as I'm aware. So he'll probably be quite busy.
Good stuff.
So he also said everyday package operations. The most common operations I do are Geeks Environment. I won't read this whole thing. Where NC...
No, that's a show. That's a show right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's a lot there.
Yeah, jump down to basic.
It's too much. To, the next, jump to the next comment, do you mean?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't read this. What is Bias opinion. See, my laptop screen is hard to read. Working programmer. Like many programmers out there, I'm stuck in the narrow focus of my job. I found this episode informative and inspiring. Big thumbs up, he said.
Cool. What more can you say from an episode? John.
That's very good.
John, this truck is worth its weight in gold. Culp is replacing the throttle position sensor on his truck. When the check engine light came on, it turned out to be the throttle positioning sensor. And then when Bill says, when is the new truck? Eventually John will do an episode when he replaces every last piece of this old truck.
That's a good comment. I like that. Yes, yes.
So the, like that Viking ship. It's still the same truck.
It's still the same truck. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And somebody called Ken Fallon says, no, this truck is worth its weight in shows.
John replies, just getting started. Don't worry, y'all. I expect this truck will give me episode topics regularly for a good while. I'm going to guess starter motor and ignition coil within the next year. Spark plugs, at least.
yeah very good.
Just pasted in the other show, but that's excellent. This is actually why I don't have a car, Dave. It's just maintenance, and well, I didn't use it anyway. Episode one of the Future of Free Software series, where it's an introduction to the series, and he was trying to post it and then never did, so post the rest of the shows. It would have been interesting to hear the remainder of the series.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that was the note I made to myself. It's looking forward to the rest.
And then we had Lord D's remembrance, and this was a good show. Thanks, Tiltu, for putting this together.
Yeah, it was very moving, I thought, and extremely well assembled and introduced by Klaatu. Very, very sad that a young fellow like him died so young.
Absolutely. Droop says, Dragonblut, dude, it's hard to listen to this episode thinking about you being gone. Thank you for being there for me and for everybody else too. I wish I had been a better friend to you. I did laugh when they mentioned long rambling conversations. I just hear you saying, well, Droops, it was a great episode and it didn't do you enough justice. You're a great guy and we are all the lesser without you.
Yeah, well said.
Indeed. Okay, the following day, Makers on YouTube. I'm trying to learn to make various things. I'm watching YouTube to find information, by Dave Morris. Dave, did you know the whole concept of cause and effect, the butterfly thing?
Yeah.
This caused my NAS to fill up, Dave.
yeah, that's the YouTube effect, I think. Or YouTube download or whatever it was.
Yeah. I have a script which I promised to do a show about before just for fetching YouTube things using like a bash pottery type thing So I just plugged them into that and downloaded, and next morning all of a sudden a terabyte of disk space had disappeared from my ass.
These are prolific people.
What I'm glad to see is so many women doing this sort of hardware stuff.
Absolutely.
Not only like just hardcore real engineering going on here.
Yeah,
it was nice because I was showing my kids on the couch, and then there were various different people coming up, so it was really nice to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, my daughter's also both my son and my daughter, but my daughter and I were looking at some and she was visiting over Christmas and stuff. So it's good to spread the word. So there were a bunch of comments on this one. Mira Shade says, awesome suggestions. I love Jimmy DiResta and have spent more than a few hours on his channel myself. Looking forward to checking out some of the other channels you posted.
Yeah. And then Victor O said, thumbs up. I think making things is healthy. So what if factories make things better and cheaper? It's not about that. It's about keeping your handyman. As a handyman, we don't have to be so dependent on what's available. We have options.
Good point. Dot dummy.
Although, to be honest, quite a lot of those things you would never see coming out of a factory, and the quality of them being far higher by virtue of the fact they're manufactured.
Yeah.
Some of them are a bit dodgy, but I mean, some of the taking what's her face. Let me see here. Laura Camp, for example, her stuff is just art rolled up in a.
Oh, she's brilliant. Yeah. She's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, she seems to be able to do anything she turns her hand to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. She's definitely a role model. I said to my daughter, there's somebody you should emulate, but she probably said shut up under her breath at least.
Well, I deliberately did not try to say that because I'm trying to. And this is something I want to bring up on the interview with that's coming up shortly, and how not to overdo it. You know, with it's just nice subtly to be going to be watching somebody, and then it gives subconsciously a message that. Yes, it's not all men in this field, that it is possible for somebody to be respected on their engineering capabilities.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. It's, my daughter and I have an interesting relationship. We sort of banter at one another. She'd probably say the same to me at some point. Dad, you should watch this. You might learn something. Oh.
Anyway. No harm.
Did you want to do that one, or shall I? Dodd dummy, I think it is, because it's Dodd with a double Dodge. D on the end.
That's
dummy.
Right, yeah. I've been calling it Dodo dummy for the last ages. I do apologize.
It takes a bit of reading.
Why?
Iggy Swan, he says, is another I like, and actually he's very good. Except I don't watch him quite as much as the others, but and he says, I'm a bit of a Darwin Orva stalker. And Paul Sellers, DiResta, primitive technology are like magic to me. And he points at some YouTube channels, a YouTube channel.
Yeah, primitive technology is absolutely awesome. I think this is I need to go through some of my series as well. That's on my list as well of things to do. I've already promised that last year.
But I've missed this last sentence. Already watch most on this list, but there are about five I hadn't heard of. Can't wait to check them out. Shall we do the last comment? Because even though it was put added today, it's still probably worth doing. Jim Weder says, shall I do it or do you want to do it?
No, I'm actually processing the show in the background.
I thought you might be. When you hesitate, I assume you're doing
Don't tell them. Don't let on that I'm not paying 100% attention.
Oh, gosh, yes. Everything's fine. Anyway, he says, treat list. I think he meant great list, but maybe not. I don't know. You definitely put some time in, being that you were able to put a great list together. I know when I was doing my search for great builders I could learn from, I made sure I watched many of their videos until I felt confident and comfortable about turning to them for ideas and techniques. Thanks for turning me on to a couple of new names I hadn't run into yet. Can't wait to watch some of these since I really agree with the rest of the list. So, yeah, this I always enjoy sharing lists. And I always enjoy other people sharing lists. It's you can learn a lot from these things, podcasts and YouTubes and stuff.
Although since I've started my list, I've taken a few off because they've gotten bit by the bug when they start getting more popular than they. Sometimes they deviate from their core values, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah. It's the sponsorship deals and all that sort of stuff can water them down a bit as well. But
that doesn't bother me so much as then, you know, they're putting up videos every week and start giving opinions on the US elections when you're thinking, oh, right, fair enough.
Yeah. Just having a mouthpiece platform to be able to do these things, I guess. Yeah. Tempts people.
Anyways, just give me one second. I want to check the audio. Yeah, looks good. So, oh yeah, there was one thing about all the woodworking shows, though. That it doesn't seem to be a hobby that you can get into unless you've got the physical space in order to do it. I was looking at them all in common, and they've all got a router, they've all got a saw table, they've all got a pedestal drill, they've all got a vertical saw. So right that's a big shed from my point of view, even if, you know.
Well, I agree. But when I worked at Lancaster University, I had a flat and had quite a reasonable sized bedroom, and half of that bedroom was my workshop, and I built some furniture in there quite successfully. Had to watch about, you know, stepping out of bed into a pile of shavings or the odd nail on the floor and stuff. But you know, it, and that was all hand stuff, you know, it was done with a brace and bit and a handsaw and stuff.
Back in my day, yes, Dave.
Dowel jointing is cool, yeah.
Yeah, it is. No. I don't know. I'm very into electronics at the minute, and it's a lot more compact. That's just
Have something that
will travel.
I am very tempted to acquire some of those large tools, but I don't know. I've only got an ordinary one-car garage, so I'd have to sort of make the end of it adaptable or somehow fold up, whatever. Yeah, but you're right. You want sort of a giant two-car, three-car garage with loads of room for tools, ideally, and lots and lots of money.
Although the money didn't seem to be... I think if you could go round and get... You'll get away with reasonably cheap stuff if you're lucky. Give me 2 minutes, I'll be back. Yeah. Okay. All the HBR show, all the New Year shows are posted, and the feed validates, and there's no weird XML. Okay. Phew.
Cool.
Good, I got that done. Okay. The following day, we had Not So Smart, How I'm Fault Troubling Disk IO Issues. And this is an excellent show and will be absolutely filed away for my disk issues when they invariably arrive.
I've never had to do this, but as you say, it's good to know that somebody gives you pointers to how to deal with these sorts of issues when you do need to. So yeah, good for that.
Yeah. So the following day we had Mascan for 10.omg. And this is an issue with the vulnerability to scanner and destroying discovery times from 8 hours to 1 hour with Mascan. That was pretty impressive, I must say.
Yes. Again, a little bit outside my sphere of existence, but still good to know.
Yeah, it is, especially when reading our internal policies about running this sort of thing would be career limiting. Inside your own organization.
Yes.
It's very it's very interesting to see somebody's daily job, you know, that you need to check all these ports on if you're running hosting services to see what's open and stuff. So it's
absolutely
good look into it. So quick Roomba tips and some silicon packets. Now, what was he doing putting silicon packets into a toaster oven? Do you have any idea?
Well, I made a note about this because I was thinking silicon. What is he? Does he mean silicon? He wrote silicone, and these are the sort of things I have to check. So silicon's the element. Silica is SiO2, silicon dioxide, and it's the naturally occurring mineral as in quartz, sand, etc. And silicone is an inert rubbery polymer used in kitchen implements, etc. That's quoting my notes.
And so folks, I have to deal with this man every day.
Well, yeah, there's something bent in my brain, I'm sorry. But silica gel is what you're talking about. Silica gel is the little packets you get in stuff that needs to be kept away from damp. And he's talking about the fact that you can, if you heat them to a fairly low temperature, after they have got damp, you can dry them out again and make them usable.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant. But then he was talking about putting them in when you're cooking a turkey.
I forget what temperature it is. It's only about 110 or something Fahrenheit or something. I'm not sure. I forget what the temperature is.
I thought he was talking about using them in the cooking process to absorb the moisture of a turkey as you roast it.
That I didn't get. Probably because I was stuck on the silicone. This is the curse of having a brain like mine, I'm afraid.
So, operator, if you could do another show explaining that, that would be awesome. Thank you. See what I did there?
Yeah, yeah.
Now that I've posted all the other shows, I can focus on getting people to do more shows. Podcasts I listen to by Red J. Excellent list. Quite a few actually that I've never heard of before and that have come up on other people's lists again. And again, I need to book an OPML file together. Yes, I know it's on the list.
Yeah, as I said before, people's lists are always fascinating. There's too many sports ones here for me, but that's just my prejudices. But there's some good stuff. There's a few I listen to. I'm sure you do too. Dan Carlin and people like that. Yeah, cool.
No, don't listen to Dan Carlin for the very reason that when people are saying how long they are, I already have a podcast list that's going. Well, if I put another podcast in, I now need to take a podcast out, so that's not good.
I listen to podcasts all day long, but I'm still at 3 gigs of unlistened to stuff, I need to be listening to 2 simultaneously, I think.
Paulie B says, update on Linux Luddites. Probably recorded the podcast before the news went out, which is true. Linux Luddites, which really was a great show, ended in the new year, but the two guys went on and started Late Night Linux as a follow-up podcast. So they are now over at latenightlinux.com. Since you put them on the list, I'll give TLLTS another go. I really couldn't get it into the first time I tried. Best wishes and thanks for all the content. As far as TLLTS goes, you need to do truncate silences.
Yeah, I do. I can shrink them quite considerably and speed them up and everything.
Indeed.
And Red J replies, Linux Luddites update info. Thanks, Paul B. I had not listened to the last 2 Luddites podcasts when I submitted my list. Thanks for the info. Yeah, shame cool. about Luddites, but there you go.
Well, they're continuing. Don't blame them. They expand.
The new show sounds really good. I like the Aki Doherty and Phelim Wootily, as they call it.
So the following day, we had neighborly greetings. We covered the title, podcast recommendations, and well wishes. NATO Alphabet. So we got some podcast recommendations in there as well. So that was kind of cool.
Which was a cool thing to do. I like that. Indeed.
I'm leaving it a while before I do the translations and add them to the OPML file, but I will do that.
I have already.
Are you maintaining an OPML file for the HPR site then? Was that just you volunteering there?
Well, the last time I did a podcast list, it took 2 shows and there was an OPML list with it. So don't get me started.
Yeah. So Windigo said, what a cool spin on podcast recommendation topics. I didn't think I could even formally be introduced to the NATO alphabet, and your recommended podcast sound intriguing as well. Thanks and welcome to HPR.
Clinton Roy says, thanks. Thanks very much for this. It was a wonderful little episode. I heard this on a plane with all the noise surrounding me. It was interesting to re-listen to it with my headphone noise cancellation off and work out how good it was at carrying information when there's a lot of background noise.
Dodd Dummy, we called it Fife, not Five. If I'm not mistaken, they thought us Five for Five, Tree for Tree, when I was in the army.
I have heard that. Yeah, I have heard that.
Five.
Yeah. Like the Niner business, just to make it more clear. But
yeah. Tree is probably because of
can't imagine where that came from. No.
There was I'm not actually at liberty to say, but there's something quite amusing happened this month with that. Where was I? Kayak camping. Yes, kayak camping is really a fun and affordable way to explore outdoors and get away. Another episode from Louisiana, apparently. Comments by Droops, obviously, who was kayak camping. Mungo says camping the right way. I just listened to your excellent podcast on kayak camping in Louisiana and have arrived at the right way of doing it, and I enjoy the story. For me, there is nothing better than waking up in the great outdoors. I tent camped for many years, sometimes with backpack or bicycle, but mostly from the car and usually with dogs. Cheap gear, mostly real food, no tech. Thank you for the podcast.
And Droop says, thanks for the kind comment, Mongo. After listening to the podcast again, I left out something. Cheap gear is not the same as bad gear. You want quality gear, but not to pay much for it. If I had a $400 tent and an ember burnt a hole in it, I would be much more upset than when my $40 tent gets a hole. I try and test everything in my yard before relying on it, tent under a sprinkler, as to not bring worthless gear with me.
Good plan.
Yeah, absolutely. This kind of goes along with the more stuff you bring, the worse of a time you have. Gear will get dirty and tear and melt and get lost. None of this stuff should be so precious that it ruins your time. Have backups of important things, fire starting, water filtration, navigation, and just roll with it.
Cool. And I said another vacation destination. He just invited us all to stay. Which he did.
And Droops replies, vacation destination? Ken, you know you're always welcome. Though if you overstay, I might just leave you in the woods and come visit sometime and bring you batteries so you can keep running HPR like a champ.
Excellent. And John Cobb says, not a camper. I'm not a camper, but you make it sound like it's almost something I might want to try someday. Very much case in point for me. I definitely want to try kayaking around the waters here in Louisiana. But I'm not sure about the camping bit. By the way, I never realized you were in Louisiana. Give me a holler if you ever come through Lafayette.
Cool.
Was he talking to me there as well? Yes, I think that's another invitation for my inevitable trip around the US.
Yeah. I think he invited you along to turn some pens in the garage sometime.
Yeah, Professor John Culp there at the uni, he said I could keep here for... Oh, yeah.
Nice try.
Yeah, the guy with the broke down truck. That guy. Calibre ebook server by John Culpazo. Quick rundown how to share your ebook library using Calibre server, which actually has turned out to be something that I intend to do right now. Well, not right now, FOSDEM, blah, 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 blah. But I bought an ebook reader, Kobo Touch 2. And yes, I'm wondering if I like. I'm still in early days, so I'm having a look at that. But this seemed to have stirred up a bit of interest.
Yes, I found it quite intriguing. I didn't realize that it had that capability. It's a very cool feature.
Absolutely. And it's nice to be, to have a library in the house, essentially, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And Dodd Dummy, who's been very busy posting comments, but not as big as he posting shows, Dave. My stern voice. I've tried this and it works great. I don't remember if it was noted in the show, but you need to supply the port number. On my 3G Kindle with a keyboard, it's hard to read the page. Had to play about with the display settings and reload the page when the page got garbled. But it did work. I think I'll probably plug in the 3GS if possible, though, because it takes me a while to get to the page. Work much better on the Kindle DX.
Okay. John Cup replies, ports. Whoops, yes. Must have port number appended to Earl. Glad it worked.
And he just tried it. This is, again, Dodd Dummy. I just tried it from another GPS, 3GS, and it worked fine. So I compared the two side by side and noticed the display on one had a problem. I didn't notice this while reading books. With that in mind, I've changed my mind and will use this 3GS excluding the one. Use this for the 3GS excluding the one with the display defect. Interesting. Yep. So cool stuff. Another thing for a Raspberry Pi, as by the by. Reflections on freedom of speech. And this was by Mirror Shades. And Droop says, well said, very well said, exclamation mark.
Yes, this was an excellent show. It's really well reasoned, I thought. Bill Miller comments, hello. Hey, great podcast, and I agree with you pretty much 100%. I may not even agree with Spaceman, but I totally support his right to express his opinion. no matter how offensive it is to others. Hope to hear more from you.
Absolutely. But I don't think anybody was that particularly offended by Spaceman. It was just the forum, the location where it happened. I don't think they were expecting it, you know,
in
that position. But I think we can pretty much refer people to episode 2210 is HPR's stance on freedom of speech. From now on, this is the policy.
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, it's well explained too.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. I love it. Actually, in that in mind, I was, I don't know if I should say, I'm lining up an interview with a guy in work who works on radio stations. Public access radio stations in the UK, and was interested to hear that we have content. So I'm going to probably do an interview with them first, and then see if there are people on the network who want to submit tech shows or stuff over there. In which case, this clean and clean and explicit becomes, you know, if we were putting shows over there, then they would really need to be clean, and somebody would need to listen to them and say, okay, this is not going to find some, you know, we bankrupt some public access show, radio station because they put in naughty words on via our shows.
Oh, yes. The 7 banned words in the States and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. HBR 2211, my podcast workflow, how I'm download, manage, listen to and delete podcasts, or as I put it, how to overkill. Oh, my God, Dave.
Did I not make reference to your overkill comment in here? Yes.
Yeah. I can completely understand how this happened, but at some point, a refactoring of code is required.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. But it's amazing how you can. It's a bit like that sort of woodwork thing again, isn't it? You've made a chair and then you've added a sort of table on the side, and then you've got a thing to cover over the top of your head, and you know, it just becomes ridiculous, which this does. But
yeah,
it's got good ideas in there. I think good ideas for me, but it's just overkill, as you say. You are right.
Well, the problem lies with the RSS spec being so loose and the Atom spec being so strict that you need to deal with all the intricacies that people have done in between, either deliberately or accidentally or one way or the other. And then this, you know, it takes 10 minutes to write a podcast client and it takes 10 years to maintain it.
Yeah. Well, that's really the point. I think Bash Podder was brilliant in its time. It is just brilliant anyway, but it was fine for its time. But it's you know, it doesn't.
There's so many exceptions.
Fulfill. Yes.
It's because, you know, I sometimes think a different approach would be to go and say to people, okay, your RSS feed is completely, you know, crap. But then, you know, we should be thankful now that, you know, we should be thankful that people are still producing RSS feeds because after the Google Reader thing that they took a nosedive.
Yeah, I know. I'm enough of a nerd to actually sometimes go and point out deficiencies in feeds to people. Yep, and I've had one or two reasonable replies and a few where they've told me to go away and boil my heed, as they say,
yes,
in Scotland.
Yes. Meanderings, Cyberpunk and the Minidisc, the Cyberpunk History of the Sony Minidisc by Kubnu. And I found this because personally hated the whole concept of the Minidisc and its proprietary nature, but I found this a very interesting show nonetheless.
Yes. It's quite timely for me. My son had a Minidisc, and when he got fed up with it and wanted to go on something better, he left it with me, and I found it in a box of interesting things the other day, and I was thinking, what can I? It still works. It's a portable mini disc player. What can I do with this? So yeah, and I didn't really have an answer, but I might do. It was very interesting to listen to this as a consequence.
You know, sometimes I think we're living in the Matrix when stuff like that happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. Yes.
What are the odds?
Yes.
Anyway, some Bill sort Miller of telepathy. Says, great show. Listened to your show today, and it brought back a lot of memories as well. I went through almost the same thing in the timeline of your tech lifetime there, and reminded me that some of the great and not so great tech items we used to get to and where we are now. Don't tell anymore. I still have some of these. Don't tell anyone. I still have some of these mini discs, lol.
And Kuvmo, is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, go ahead, butcher his name. That's why I don't remember. Fix my name on the text to speech. You know, I think it's only fair that text to speech gets to butcher my name every show.
Yes. I should have listened to Ado when he said who he was. Did he say who he was? Maybe he didn't. I don't know how he says it. Anyway, he said, starting to become a bit of a disease. Picked up a rack mini disc deck off Craigslist. Still have not told the wife.
Ooh,
yes, I can understand why you would do that, though. Yeah, it's tempting.
Matt says, mini disc brought me here. Mini disc is still going strong, and it was via the mini disc Facebook group that I discovered this link. As an online group, they are approaching nearly 2,000 members, and shows that there is still a subculture for the format. Welcome aboard, Matt.
Wow.
Cool. No, cool stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I hadn't realized until I saw this comment that there was still such an interest in them. I must dig deeper, because it sounds like a cool thing to be playing with.
Oh, it's only a matter of time before the hipsters come along and think mini disc is cool.
We had a magneto-optic drive thingy on some machines at work, and it was never all that good, and the drivers for it were rubbish, and it got taken off the machine and put in the storage cupboard. I was really upset when I discovered that one of the senior managers decided it wanted to be thrown out. It could have thrown it in my direction. I'd have had I'd have played with that for certain. Anyway,
following day, clay body, basic clay theory. This is in response to our request for Brian to do clay body shows. Thank you. This was awesome. This is how you start a series. Absolutely excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. What a wonderful response.
That was just ask and you shall receive.
Yeah. And really well done to it. I felt that he'd maybe done that. He'd explained this before to somebody. But
this is, again, liquid gold. I was thinking of this very show for, you know, brought as a sampler for broadcasting on radio stations. The reason I was talking about it, because they syndicate shows among other people, and we've often had times here where people have asked to syndicate shows. So it would be nice for us to syndicate out some, the best of HBR to all these radio stations, 14 or 15 different countries around the world. Kind of nice.
Yeah, cool, yeah.
I hope Brian really continues on with this, because that gave me a really nice understanding of basically the science behind it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I made links to myself to go and look into, you know, what is kaolinite, what is feldspar, and all that sort of stuff.
Have you got those? Because that would be no harm to kind of fluff out the old show notes there with a little bit more. With a link to some of the stuff. So if you have your own show notes, can you pop them in there?
I will do that. Yes. I would have made links if it was me in these notes. But then I'm, you know, I'm like with show notes. A few more links would be good. Yeah, I will see what I can do.
Okay, cool. The following day, upgrading vehicle lights from halogen to LED by John the Man Culp. And Steve says, what about the blinkers, which are indicators for the rest of us? It was pretty funny. As I was sitting there listening to the episode while you were changing the bulbs, I was thinking to myself, you know, I bet the LED bulb would mess up the timing on the turn signal blinkers. And then your addendum. Dave?
Addendum.
Thank you. If I ever get Blather working here, the trigger word will be Dave.
I'm not sure what the reply is going to be.
Yes, next.
Nicely done. I was waiting for you to say that last bit. Clinton Roy says, so if you replace an inefficient bulb with a highly efficient LED and a resistor of the same load, are you actually saving any power at all? Which is a good question. I think the answer comes up next.
Probably not, says John Cole. Nah, probably not saving power on the blinkers, but if you get 10 times more lifespan, as they claim, and brighter lights, it's still worthwhile. And he also replied to Steve, saying, while you're way ahead of me, I didn't even consider that this could happen to the blinkers until it actually happened. And then I had to do research to figure out what was going on. I don't understand electricity very well. But hold on now a sec. If it's drawing less current, the reason the resistor is there, and somebody is going to be, and my Bill or whoever is going to be, or Jezra is going to be throwing stuff at the microphone. Ken, you have no concept of electricity. Yes, come on and explain it to me. But if the reason for the resistor there is because it's not drawing enough current. So therefore, the car thinks that it is the bulb is not there, but putting a small resistor there to give it a slight amount of current will tell the car that there is a light there. But that doesn't necessarily need to be the full resistance of a light bulb, I guess.
I imagine so.
But then again, in this case, even if you are burning the same amount of power or using the same amount of power, you're not necessarily going to be converting that to light or heat on the bulb itself. On the other hand, you're driving a fucking car, guys. Go with public transport.
The resistor is in a metal body, and it has to be fixed quite firmly to a metal structure because it's got a big old heat sink on it. So it's turning the current into heat.
Yes, but it will not necessarily need to put in the 12 watts that would be there. It would not necessarily need to convert all 12. It could be 6 watts, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I would just imagine
to trigger the car sensor. But then again, it might be that you actually need to have real light bulbs. Sorry, I'm just working through all of this anyway because I am, as you know, trying to get a better handle on electronics in myself. Anyway, I also posted smoking hot canvas LED lamps from the bigclive.com channel where he takes some of these light bulbs and basically does what he does best.
Is there explosion involved? I haven't seen that one.
It's just some of them melt down. You put them in the wrong way and you're cheap.
Oh, stuff. right. Yeah. Oh, some of these nasty Chinese ones. Because mm-hmm. you get a sort of matrix of multiple LEDs in a thing for a high-powered spotlight type thing, don't you?
I think these ones were just little like circuit boards with an LED on both sides and that was it. And they were just run at their maximum whack.
There's anyway, I was going to say there's a guy who made an LED torch that was incredibly bright, and the amount of heat sink he had to do to avoid it blowing up was
sold out. All right, yeah.
yes. And did you want to do John then?
No, you can.
Okay, John says, "Yikes, mine are not canvas, so hopefully won't have meltdowns."
Yeah, good stuff. So the Kickstarter from the Omega 2 Plus first time walkthrough, and this was from Jurello. Arduino related device series, and I did not know about I had a little look at the time but never got into it.
Yes. Do you think you meant that to be Kickstarter? Because I didn't notice it was going through. I will just go and fix that when I get a second.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'd sort of vaguely heard about this Omega 2, but I hadn't paid it a lot of attention because it was IoT, and I'm not sure I'm quite too keen on IoT stuff in general. But interesting.
I think it's a good beginner kit. But the thing about it is that the thing that put me off it was there are so many different modules that you could get, and by the time you get them all, you're like €250 down the drain. But and I've already invested in the whole Raspberry Pi ecosystem.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what I've ended up happening is, like, I got the Raspberry Pi because I'm interested in turning on lights and stuff. And I was thinking, oh, that's interesting. Let's learn about that. And then I learned about that. And I think, Arduinos, oh, those are handy. Let's learn about that. Actually, if I'm doing it with Arduinos, I can do it with integrated circuits. Actually, how do integrated circuits work? Let's do it with resistors.
Yes. You can, It's easy to end up with bags and bags and heaps and heaps of stuff. Exactly. You're not careful. If you hear what this, that's something I just bought from my Pi Zero, which turns it into, I wanted to try and connect a serial device to it to see if I could drive it through, from a Pi. So it's a little serial interface that you stick on the top, serial Pi Zero. So, you know, I don't know how long it will take me to do it. Years, probably, but
no doubt we will get a show on that.
When it gets done, I shall certainly tell you about it.
Thank you. I actually did I went through the, because I've been buying stuff ever since I've started doing tutorials and stuff with the Raspberry Pi, and you think, oh, I'll send away for that and I'll get that. And then it comes back 3 weeks later, and then, you know, you have to bring kids to wherever, and then, you know, life catches up with you. So I've actually this weekend went and did an inventory using Markdown and of all the things that I've purchased, and have their, and it's in Git. And I have all their PDFs and breakdowns and links to the site where that explains the project and what it's used for and stuff.
Oh, cool. That is really good. Yes.
Yeah,
it's
quite nice. You know, the virtual, I think it was in my Bill who suggested putting, when he does a project, he puts it in the components into a static bag and then keeps a track of it.
Yeah.
So this is kind of my idea of doing the same thing, only in a Markdown. Which is
excellent. Yes, I keep a ring binder with bits of paper in for that purpose.
I shall also do that, Dave, because that's quite handy.
Yes.
But I don't actually have space now for a bookshelf yet out here. But once I digitize all my archive tapes and CDs and videotapes, then I can have space. But that's another project for another day.
There's probably some woodwork involved.
Oh,
in there,
God.
Somewhere.
Yeah. So I have to make a brush and then change the handle. Anyway, working AO Alpha Oscar 85 with my son. And this was the absolute coolest episode. Sorry, this was my ideal episode. And it was so annoying that he didn't get a contact.
I thought, oh, yeah, right. I'm not all that much into amateur radio. I thought it was really fascinating. I was so rooting for him to get through and have a conversation or something or other.
Yeah.
It's a shame it didn't happen, but it was quite gripping, actually. Yeah.
This actual thing here is actually why I want to get into amateur radio, is for the tracking the satellites. I just think it is so cool.
Yes, yeah. No, that was an excellent show.
What
More,
I actually
please.
Want to do is rig an aerial, an antenna, so that it can automatically track the satellites itself using motors, so you don't have the inconvenience of actually having to stand outside, that it would do it automatically. And I don't know how... That is the end goal.
Isn't it? Wasn't that guy at Fosdem last year?
That's the bunny. Yes, 2 years ago.
Yeah. So you'll be following in his footsteps or something.
That's what I was trying to do with a little Yagi antenna and see how we would do. They have the automated relay stations that do the tracking as the satellite comes over the horizon. Then you report back the signals from the satellite. So people doing. What was this? People doing where they get amateur satellite, where there's a space on the satellite that goes up, they'll put in these amateur satellite boxes for, you know, universities and hobby groups, and then they'll just launch them because, hey, it's they couldn't fit anything else in that space, and then you put the space up. And but they don't have ground control stations, so the idea was that you could get a global ground control network, so that was what they were doing.
Oh, very cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Loved that show. And the following day was building a new voice input device. Jibber jabber. Did you see the photos for this?
I didn't look, I haven't looked in detail. I saw some of the photos on GNU Social as he was putting it together. But I
thought this phone was even older than 1970s. It looks like something out of the 1930s. You know, what here, my lord? There's a...
It's one with the microphone on set on the wall and a detachable earpiece. Is it?
Yeah,
is it one
like of those? A wooden box it was. On the wall. Oh, this is so cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That opened up a lot of ideas for me. You know, like that you could go a tube on the wall that you could blow into, go like the old ships, you know.
Oh, I know, indeed. Yes, just have to pull a plug out of it and then blow down it.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be awesome. Okay, anyway, enough of that, yes. And, of course, I'm inviting myself over to Jezra's house because that, I think, would be the ultimate in museum visits.
He does have fun, though, doesn't he? Yeah, yeah.
He does, yeah.
I wouldn't mind one of those chip computers. I don't know how easy they are to get in the UK.
Yeah.
Seem to be a bit harder to get in the UK than they are in the States.
Yes, but I don't have the time to devote to this.
Yeah, I know. Neither do I, really, but no. Still.
Okay, so that was the shows. And where are we now? We're talking about... Have we missed any comments, Dave?
Well, there was a bunch to previous shows, so which I haven't prepared.
Shall I do that?
As usual.
So we had Droops was commenting. Droops did a show on... why people should use handwriting to gain superpowers. And Mirrorshade replied, thanks. I'm actually a fan of fountain pens as well. I love them, but sometimes it's hard to explain the fascination to people who don't get it. Me, basically. I don't know about anybody else, but I've tried and get tired of the why every time I mention fountain pens. Good to know I'm not one of the only ones.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
Did Mirrorshade know that if he does one more show, it's a series?
Ooh. Yeah, we need more fountain pen shows.
More fountain pen shows, yeah. On Tattoo raves about the tabletop game Coup, and Nondescript says, I took a copy of Coup when visiting relatives over the holidays. It was a huge success. Thanks for bringing the game to my attention. Cool, that's nice. And then we had on the why people should say GNU Linux. FSA said some languages more offensive than others. Spaceman, I thought for the most part your episode was entertaining, taking the subject. Mostly agree with you on the political points behind it. I am strongly opposed to censorship of any kind. Fox, etc. Don't bother me, but I would just ask to reconsider the retard and retarded as an insult. I completely agree. That's me saying that. Again, I'm completely against censorship, but I'm not saying that you should be forced to do or not prevented from releasing episodes that use them in that way. But I do think it's a different sort of offense than generic words like fuck when some people just happen to not like. And Christopher M. Hobbs, do you mind me doing these comments or do you want
okay
to jump in?
I'm sort of following behind slowly, but
this was on the Christopher M. Hobbs show about working amateur radio satellites by Michael. And comments, additional links. Hello, Christopher and listeners. Cool show. Now I want to pick up my own attempts again. Some comments or answers. AMSAT is the international organization. AMSAT-NA is an American, North American branch. There are many others. You already mentioned AMSAT UK. The Oscar name is still present. Here's a link that explains the rules. AMSAT page ID 2478. In short, in the AOXX, FOXX, COXX satellite names, the O stands for Oscar. The first letter is usually linked to the organization or group that built the satellite. The problem of getting misled by dead satellites can be mitigated by consulting the satellite status page, which is at amsat.org/status first. There you can see if they very recently have heard or worked a particular satellite. Regards, Michael. Next comment was by Spaceman on the Spaceman show. Victor commented twice, Victor O. Comment number one was, I love bots, but I find it disrespectful when a bot impersonates a human being. I think a bot should identify themselves as bot. I don't think anybody appreciates being deceived. Next comment was, on a side note, I think you could share your findings. I kind of would like to open the database of stuff out there that you can download. You know, you can Google anything on the internet is easy acceptable, but I would like to see, to own a couple of terabytes database that index of the internet. It's nice that you can download the DMOZ database. And Mirrorshade, comment by Clacky on Mirrorshade's fun with oscilloscopes, bubble sort. And loved that the artist put in a sorting algorithm illustration in lines. I'm pretty sure they're all bubble sorts, though. Did anyone here watch The Sorting Out Sorting? It's a classic. In 2005, sadly, it's no longer part of our algorithms course. But we watched it as a student body lore. It's originally VHS. One second. Dave, have you disappeared?
No, I'm still here.
Just give me one sec. No, I thought I'm going to put the link into the show notes. Actually, do you know what I'm going to do, Dave? Is I'm going to put the link in an email and then send that to you. And then there was an... the video he's talking about is on YouTube from VHS. But I thought he was talking about the video with the dance. The Hungarian dancers. Did you see that video?
I haven't seen that. No, they're demonstrating sorting and bubble sorting and things.
Sorting. Just one second. I'll see if I can get the link. So, just sent both of those links to you. One, the first video I have not watched. The second one I have. It's Hungarian dancers, and they have like dressed in traditional costume, and they've got the numbers 1 to 10 on their back, and then they just do the dance sorting themselves out as they go.
That's so cool.
Mesmerizing.
I did a sort thing for the evening class I used to run years and years ago in Pascal, and I took in a deck of cards and showed them in one of the suits, you know, how you would do a bubble sort to sort the thing you see. Not the whole suit, just maybe a subset of it or something. And just actually seeing it demonstrated in front of your eyes gives you great insight into it. It's just a simple bubble sort. It wasn't that advanced, but it's a fascinating thing.
It was the thing I used to do coming home from the pub was load up the Turbo Pascal. Had a thing where you could look at it had a graphical representation of the sorts, and you could put on the music. One of the sample programs was, and it would play. It was brilliant. I happened to be doing this one night, and my brother's roommate came down, walked into the kitchen, took the plug of the computer, went back up to bed, and just didn't say a word.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a fairly clear message.
Yes, exactly. Then we had a clean podcast with no swearing. A concerned listener was saying I'm complete bullshit that people get offended over words that are part of your culture. You're occupying spaceman, said actions speak louder. For I won, doing a back censorship. I'm quite concerned that any of this community would bow to the fascists who desire censorship. Nobody was asking about censorship. People were talking about the shows being marked as clean and not those marked as explicit. Okay, GWS says there's no such thing as knowledge transfer. Sure, there is no one true method of teaching. There's no one single style of learning. The point is that you're out of order, that what you're doing...
It's not that you're out of order, it's that you're going to alienate your audience, is what it says, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to read the rest?
If show response is stochastic, then try not to become a statistic. Which is a nice way of putting it.
I have no idea what that means.
No, I don't know either, really. Stochastic meaning random according to sort of a normal distribution or something like that. So is it? I don't know. I don't know. It's obviously a joke. It looks like it should be amusing, but I don't really understand. It's beyond my pay grade.
Okay. Kevin O'Brien said, excellent show. As somebody with a strong interest in both history... Oh, this is on Clacky's lowdown on what's up in the Taiwan Strait. Really enjoyed both history and politics. I really enjoyed this program. Love to hear more. Victor O says, lol, I used to watch China Uncensored on YouTube. I think China and Russia are very inferior complex because the rest of the world listens to the US. Right. They only act to protect their interests. This is just waffle. Okay, fine. They see the US as an intruder in their sphere of influence. I think the mainland China wants Asians to deal with Asians' affairs. It is convenient for them, but that's what they want. Anyway, the US, country of freedom, refuses to allow South to secede when they wanted to. And they say Trump makes Hispanics really angry and religions dominated by Hispanics so much that they want to succeed. The government will use military force to prevent it. I doubt any government today would allow a region to succeed peacefully. Okay, I don't really know what that has got to do with the show, because the show basically was very clear that both China and Taiwan consider themselves to be part of China. And the fact that I don't think the US was mentioned at all in this. Okay, fine. That was it. That was the comments.
Yes, thank you very much. Sorry to... I'm just a lot slower than you.
No, I'm an hour ahead, Dave. I need to go to bed here. I got to go in the morning. Yes. Anyway, that was an interesting. What else was there? Oh, did we miss the...
The mailing list.
No, I've been very busy with them, very busy with getting the HPR... you know, I've been doing the posters thing for the FOSDEM. Every time we go to FOSDEM, I do all these interviews, yeah, and just to give people a background. And every time I spend a whole week afterwards trying to get basic things like what the project is about, where their logo is, and all the stuff. So this time I had the brilliant idea that if we do that beforehand, that I could, save myself a lot of work, which hopefully I will. But then I also volunteered to do some posters and stuff, and then... wrote a program to convert a spreadsheet into PDFs. And actually, did you see the latest version now, Dave?
You showed me a version last week, I think it was.
I've done a new one. Let me just send you the link.
I'm on my other computer. My mail's through in the other room, so I'll check it out later.
kenfollan.com/files/stands.pdf. Yep, kenfollan.com/stands.pdf. So basically, it's got the project's logo at the top portion of the screen, and then it's got a QR code to the website, a big QR code to the website. A left of that then is a description. Underneath the QR code is the URL, and then the bottom right-hand corner is the location, the building, and then the table number. So, and I spent a lot of time getting the logos up there.
Yeah. It's quite impressive. That was a hell of a task you took on there.
It was. It was one of those tasks, Dave, that, 3 hours in, you go, this is going to take me another 2 hours, but now I'm already 3 hours in, so what am I going to do? So, yeah. But I got it done. They're A3 here, but I printed them off in A4, they're A4 here, but then I enlarged them up to A3. So hopefully they'll be nice. But it's amazing, cool. Like the Pearl Project does not have a logo that you can download that is bigger than the size of a coin. Google Coding doesn't have a logo, So you just think, why do these people, like Grub doesn't have a logo?
That's weird, isn't it?
Automotive grade Linux, right? Which has got funding from the Linux Foundation, has logos for all the car companies that support it, yet doesn't have I shouldn't be saying any of this actually because people are listening, but you've got a tiny little logo on it. And then you got other websites like FreeBSD and GNOME have entire pages devoted to you can get them, here's the big version, here's the version for Mac, here's how you should put them in, this is do's, this is don'ts, which is also excellent. So there you go.
Yep.
Doing that.
Very good.
No.
I'm sad I can't make it this year, so to see all this good stuff. So
yes.
Take a picture.
I will do. I'm not going to guarantee I'm doing anything because you know what it's like. You go there and I'm going tomorrow afternoon, and I heard that they're setting up the stands early. So I'm going to try and I'm going to pass out these thingies, and I'm going to try and get some interviews there. So then, because of 74 or something like that. Different booths, so it's a lot of recordings.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's usually quite a lot as well. I mean, every year that you've been, you've spent just about every possible every hour doing this stuff.
Yes, exactly.
The thought of actually going to see any, listen to any talks or anything has been pretty much off the table largely, hasn't it? It's been impossible.
Which is why I was actually thinking, you know, you were asking about whether I was going to show what a 17.
The Netherlands show, yeah, the Dutch thing. SHA 2017, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. I don't think so. I think with that money and you're only starting with that, I would probably get a ticket to Liverpool or wherever Ogcam's going to be and, you know, just sit at the Ogcam table and enjoy sitting at a table with people rather than doing interviews or something.
250 euros is the cheapest price to get in. It does seem quite expensive. I hadn't fully appreciated that.
Yeah, but then it's a campsite for a week. So, you know, that's cheap by that standard. You know, you got free Wi-Fi, you got electricity, you got the full works, you got toilets, you got the...
Yeah, that's true.
It is cheap for the price, in fairness.
But it's a shame there's not... I thought there might be a non-camping price or something like that, you know?
It's a pity, yeah. I could go in begging on the HBR ticket, but you know, at the same time, yes.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So where were we? We were doing the mail list.
The email, yeah.
So a lot of chatter about the amateur radio stuff, finally getting the amateur radio people out of the closet, which is awesome. If you are a ham and want to get involved in the amateur radio roundtable, that's going to be coming up shortly. And it'll be hopefully a regular show where you can basically answer my questions. And I'm looking forward to hearing the show.
Yes, it's in the queue now, I think. Is it? It's,
yep.
It's,
but as I, you know, I we don't
saw it coming to... through. No, we don't listen ahead. No, that's very bad. But looking forward to it. It sounds good. And I thought I saw, since I processed the notes, there was some comment to the effect that the next one could well be at a different time to be more Europe-friendly. So, okay. So that would be cool.
Yeah. Let me see. The Lost in Bronx replied to a digest.
Ooh, dear. He
violated
the
rule.
I said, can I take you off the digest list? And he said, no, I don't want to be off that list. But it's because he likes replying to the digest, obviously.
Yeah. Late Night Linux, new podcast, so posted that out. More about the amateur radio. There was some trouble with the Yahoo and the HBR mailing list. Can you give us a rundown on that?
Right. Yes. What we have is that Yahoo have a strange policy on their mail. So I haven't got the message open in front of me. Just hold on a second. So they're using a thing called DMARC, D-M-A-R-C. I linked to it in the email. And what it means is that anything... sent by Yahoo users anywhere is checked against their policy. So if it goes through the mailman list, then what mailman does is it makes it look as if it's come from Yahoo because it forwards it. And and as a consequence, the people, the other sites say, oh, Yahoo, right, they've got this policy. Oh, but it's come through another server. It's been relayed. So we can't have that, so we'll throw it away. So what you can do is there's a setting in Mailman which allows you to which makes Mailman deal specially with this case when there's a DMARC policy of a particular sort, and it will change the way it sends stuff. So I switched this on, but unfortunately it hasn't taken effect because I think Josh needs to go and kick the mailman servers, but I've asked him to do this, but I've not heard back from him. So I'm not quite sure where we stand with this at the moment. I'll hassle him again soon. I don't want to hassle him too much, for the poor guy's busy.
Yeah. And we're also having this thing with the mails going to the admin@hackerpublicradio.org are getting through, but you get a no user exists message back. So then people are sending mails to the HBR mailing list. So, which is fine, but I'm a bit concerned now because I've got all the business cards. I've got admin@HPR on them, and I'm going to be handing those out to people. So, yes, like to get that one fixed.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably something quite simple because the message server on the MTA on the HPR system is saying there is no such person, there's no such account as admin at Hacker Public Radio, which there isn't. I mean, there doesn't have to be because it's a list, it's an expander, yeah. Isn't it?
But
so
I think
something's misconfigured that it thinks that this is an actual user. It's got too tight security on it, so something like that.
Yeah, but at the same time, we are under attack. Yeah.
Yes, so. we don't want to have loose security, but on the other hand, it seems unnecessary. I think it just needs a bit of tweaking anyway. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, but I think a lot of he has another server ready for us. He just needs the time in order to move everything over, and I think we'll get a major upgrade at that point as well. So I'll leave it with Josh. He has never let us down as yet. Beef jerky.
I let Josh down. Should I mention that? Because he was in Edinburgh at the start of the year, and we failed to meet. Failed to meet. It was such a nuisance. I went to his hotel, and somehow I couldn't get in touch with him. So, Josh. Sorry. Anyway,
you don't exist, Dave. You're a figment of my imagination. You're just in the Matrix. Admit it.
Just a robot. Yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. On you go.
No, beef jerky you can do. Mike Ray.
Right. Hesitates while I find the right tab. Yeah,
I do know both of us are doing this show, Dave. You know, it's not just you sitting there commenting. This is why I pay you the big bucks, Dave.
I'm using bloody Ubuntu over here. And Ubuntu is such a horrible thing. I hate it. And for some reason, I don't know. Anyway, It's because I'm old and can't deal with new things. So it was Mike Ray commenting on Operator's show, the one where he talked about silica gel crystals and drying them out in the oven. He made a passing reference to jerky.
That was it.
And that was, so it's beef jerky, he says, we don't have here in the UK. But I think it's a bit like what they call biltong in South Africa. So how about a show about how to make beef jerky is what Mike's asking.
Yeah, good answer. Nice one, Mike. Yes, catching on. Jezra emailed about the link not coming through, but it turns out I think it was in a spam folder or something.
Oh, is that what happened? Yeah. Okay. We're also seeing bounces for Timmy Marshall through the mailing list. I've told him about it, but I don't think he can fix it. I don't know. I haven't heard back from him.
I think after three bounces or something, it gets taken out automatically, isn't it?
No, it's a fair number of them, but certainly there will come a point where he gets removed from the list.
We're also getting bounces from the TLLTS guys. But I know
not anymore. No, I think they were reconfiguring their mail system, and I tried to contact them and couldn't. But then later on, I did manage to get through to them, and they said, "Oh, sorry." And it was because somehow or other there were bad addresses on our mailing list. So so everything is solved now, I think. Anyway,
so we had Clinton Roy, who sent in a wedge of interviews from linuxconf.au, which I'm looking forward to. They're up there on the website. Just because we don't listen to the shows before they're posted, you don't have to. There's even a feed where you can get shows as they come in. And I'll leave that up to you to figure out how to do that. And he's just interested to know how his new microphone sounds like.
Yeah, cool.
And Kevin and Droops are looking forward to basically hearing the shows, as am I. Amateur Radio Roundtable show notes, that's more an admin sort of question. And tag interface. Clinton Roy asked, is there a tag interface? Eps.php tag equals something or other. And the answer is no, there isn't, but there could be. And yeah, you're doing a show on that.
Yes,
just leave it at that, I think.
I've got three shows to do explaining the ins and outs of this stuff. I thought you'd be happy. It was going to be one humongous show, but then I thought, it's three. So first one's in the queue, next one will be along soon. So that'll maybe start the ball rolling, I hope.
Although you do have, there is a way to search on archive.org, query the collection, Hacker Public Radio, and subject Raspberry Pi will return all the Raspberry Pi episodes. It's kind of cool.
Yes. It's. I was delighted to find there are nice ways of doing that. Now, you can do some quite powerful stuff there, so go and hack it and see what you can get.
And spelling fix and how to post shows under various hosts. People on the mailing list are seeing basically my inbox for the month on these little issues and things that people have posting shows that we usually just deal with.
And it's partly because admin at Hacker Public Radio.
Absolutely.
Says,
if you send an email to admin, then, what are you going to do?
Why are you rejecting me like this?
Why have you forsaken me? All right, Dave, what do I have to do now? I have to go pack and I have to make sure to bring this recorder. And then we need to post the show as well, Dave, before I go, now that I remember.
Yes.
I don't want to be rushing out, not having posted the show, and then, okay, better do that first thing. All right.
Yes. All right. Have fun at FUSDEM.
Yes, I better save my voice. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker
Public
Radio. Oh.
Okay,
I'm not going to sing the free software song.
Please don't.
Join us now, share the software. Although I'm going to use the Fenster one. I also need to put a thing in my, because I now have a script, which is a YAML script, which actually isn't YAML at all, which turns the spreadsheet into a PDF. I now need to convert that, and I need to put additional fields into the spreadsheet for the duration field. And I also need to remember, Dave, not to do rsync the things off my, not to rsync the episodes off my Zoom H2, Dave, because when you change the batteries, what happens to the show numbers?
I lost
some shows last year, Dave. Very unhappy about
happened?
That. I'm now going to just put everything into a into folders of the sync time that I do it. All right.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Have fun. Give my regards to Brussels. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.